from Colombo, Sri Lanka. And we're taping this on December the 15th. And we hope to get it headed towards Abilene, Texas on about the December the 18th, if we can catch somebody going back. And we hope it'll serve as a Christmas tape for one and all, and that you might get some chuckles out of side one, which was, of course, taped on Guam in 1958. So at the moment, I'm sort of just spilling off thoughts and ideas, some comments on my recent trip to Kathmandu. Before I get back into that again, I hope that Diane and her friend had a really great time coming out by train to Abilene, Texas. I'm sure it was a long ride, and I'm sure it got very tiresome, but it's a good way to see the country and to get some little bit different insights than one gets in traveling by a plane. Plane is great for going from point A to point B, but I think the experience of a train is always great fun, and I hope it worked out well and, in fact, was accomplished. I imagine the trip went down through Tennessee and down across Louisiana and Oklahoma, Texas, and down into Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm not sure how you got from Dallas-Fort Worth, but I suspect there's also train or buses that run that route. Anyway, you get a chance to look at the country a bit, and if it did go down through Tennessee, which as I recall it does, maybe it just goes to Atlanta and then cuts over that way, but certainly sound like it'd be a nice trip. And we hope everybody certainly is in good spirits and well, having a good time, and hello to Bing if she's there from her duties and responsibilities there on the West Coast. Talking to her folks this summer, it appeared that she's one busy lady, and we are very, very much impressed with her achievements and all the things she's been able to accomplish activities there on the West Coast. We, of course, don't know all that much about it, but certainly she's got a couple of very proud parents back in Geneva. And so we hope that as everybody's gathered there in Abilene, which we think is just great, we pretty appreciate John and Sandy taking on that hospitality house occupation, and I'm sure it's work of pleasure. It's not certainly a task, and because it's great fun to have people around and to interchange with ideas and thoughts and be able to look into some other ways of doing people's lives. We're I managed to pick up a cold in Kathmandu, so if I don't come through as clearly as I might, why, perhaps it's just the nose plugging up there. Anyway, in Kathmandu, why, I did have a chance to have dinner with Dr. Dixit, and I'm sure that Diane and Sandy may remember him. He was former chief of the malaria program, and he came to the house there in Alexandria when he was going to school in John Hopkins, and came down and spent some time with us. Anyway, he had a nice visit, and he is now the chief of the Integrated Health Service, which is really the big push in the health area in Kathmandu at the moment. They're trying to integrate many of the vertical programs and try to cut their costs a bit in the health delivery services. Anyway, he seems to like it. He's just gotten involved. He was appointed in September, and so he's just kind of biting into the into the job. It's a tough one for sure. The mountains were out very clear in Kathmandu, and one could see very, very nicely Longtong from the valley, which is as sharp and as clear on several days as I've ever remember seeing it. And then coming in from Colombo, the evening I flew up, one could see the whole range. They were at some distance away. As you know, the plane comes up from Colombo and passes Calcutta and then cuts into Bratnagar, and from Bratnagar it goes along the Terai and then shoots across the pass there into about Hitora, and then cuts across the mountains into the Kathmandu Valley. It's the regular flight path. But still, you can see some of the mountains, and I could pick out Everest, all right, with Lhotse and Nutse right in front. Very, very clear. Makalu was especially clear this trip. It is a very unusual shaped mountain, and it was very, very clear. It was just at sunset, so while they were at some distance and not all that clear as one might get in the days, the mountains were quite identifiable, and it was a very pretty sight. Gauri Sankar, as we came in, was especially bright and clear, and as you know, that's not too far out of the valley, and one can see that fairly clear. The American ambassador in Nepal now is a fellow named Trimble, and Trimble led the American bicentennial expedition to Everest. And I'm not sure that qualifies him to be an ambassador, but he obviously is a good Democrat, and so he's taking that particular role at the moment until at least Mr. Reagan arrives at the White House on January 20th. As you know, all ambassadors have to tender their resignation on January 20th, and then the incoming president has the option to accept or reject those ambassadors which suit his particular needs. So I suspect Mr. Trimble's days are numbered. Apparently he's done quite a bit of walking around the country and has added another kind of dimension to the ambassador's role there in Nepal. Nepal is politically is undergoing some stresses. There's a lot more unrest than I can remember in the past, and there's some talk of a change of prime ministers for Surya Thapa, who is now the prime minister, may be changed, and there's a fellow named Pandey who may take his slot, who I think will be quite good. I think Mr. Thapa has done a pretty good job. The king still is using the Machiavellian technique of moving people from one post to another and without notice, and keeping things off balance. Students are actually on strike in some cases, protesting the high cost of living, which certainly has arrived in Nepal. And there was quite a large rally on Friday, just before I left. That would make it Friday the 12th of December. And there was some small incidences around Kathmandu. So unlike Nepal, as we remember it, but the world will be served, and youth there are making their noises heard. Prince Charles of England was in town while I was there. I thought it was awfully nice of him to come up to see me. Unfortunately, I just didn't have time to get over there to the royal guest house, but he filled in his time by going out to Poker for a three-day walk, and then he went over to Dankuda to look at the new Dankuda highway. And as I had to leave a day ahead of him, we just didn't get together. But the papers were full of all kinds of goodwill on British-Nepal relationships. And I think there is a real warmth there that the Nepalis feel for the British, and a connection which does not exist with any other outside group as far as Nepal is concerned. Much of it due, of course, to the long association of the British Army and the Gurkhas and their very active role in the British presence in many parts of Asia and, for that matter, a good many parts of the world where the Gurkhas have been sent for duty. I guess the work I've described, I spent half days at Ravi Bhavan at the AID, and then the other half of the day I'd be spending there at the NMEO at the malaria office. Dr. Parajuli and Dr. Sakya and Dr. Suriman Shrestha, people I've known over many, many years now. And I think it was worthwhile. On one of the weekends, I searched around and I bought two rugs. One rug is not too dissimilar to the one Sandy has, except that the center pattern is a little bit different. But the colors are very close. And I got quite a good buy on it. I was very pleased about that. It wasn't a place that I have gone before to look, but I just took a chance and I went back two, three times to see this particular rug, and finally we made a deal and went off. The other rug is a blue rug, a solid blue. It's a traditional rug. Rugs are still holding fairly good in price. They haven't gone up all that much. The starting prices are higher, but the actual price is what you pay is about the same as it has been over the last couple of years. Tourists in Kathmandu are fairly common, but it doesn't seem to be in the mob of tourists that one sees, say, in February or March, because I guess most people are interested in being at their own hearth and fireside during the Christmas vacation or the Christmas holidays. And I think probably the big push will be later on. Although when I came back from Kathmandu, you know there's now a direct flight. The flight of RNAC flight goes directly from Kathmandu to Colombo without a stop, which is marvelous for me because that means I don't have to go through India, which would, in my case, would mean going from Colombo to Madras to Calcutta to Kathmandu, which I'm sure would take 2 days. This way I can get on a plane in Kathmandu and get off in Colombo in 3 hours and about 20 minutes. Flight's very good, and while it is late normally, as all RNAC flights seem to be, why, at least you can have a chance to not have to battle Indian customs and papers and bureaucracy, and it worked out relatively well. Anyway, we are now settled down, I guess, here in Colombo till about the 9th of January. We have two parties on Friday, which would be the 19th, I guess, December the 19th. Well, the first party is the AID party, which all members, American and Sri Lankan, will be gathered at the director's house for some eating and drinking and singing and talking and what else will go on. And then the same night, we have been invited to the Sri Lankan Medical Society dance, which we have attended on other occasions, by Dr. Abhisundra, the fellow that I work with. And so we'll be going to the AID party first, and then moving down to the Lanka Oberoi, downstairs in their ballroom for the Sri Lankan Medical Society dance. I'm sure if Diane is around, why, she can describe this hotel. It's a very beautiful hotel and one of the loveliest lobbies I think I've ever seen in my life. It has an enormous 5 or 6 story lobby. As you enter this lobby, it just goes on up, and the rooms are sort of built around this thing, and then they have an enormous flags that are hanging down in the center of this lobby. It's really very, very lovely. It's designed very well. I'm sure at the moment they wish they could fill in that space with rooms, because the tourist trade here in Colombo seems to be growing by leaps and bounds. But certainly from my point of view, it's very lovely. Anyway, we'll be going to the dance, and then we also have a party at the ambassador's house on the 22nd, and I think this will be kind of a mob scene. Not sure I look forward to going, but as the rules of the game are, why, if the ambassador beckons, why, and you get an invitation, why, you're supposed to attend unless there are some very definite reasons not to attend. So we'll probably be going there. Christmas Day and or Christmas Eve and New Year's, we haven't made much plans for. I suspect they'll be pretty quiet. As I say, I plan to go on leave very soon. Hopefully I was going to get some time off starting Wednesday, but there's a contingent of Thai malaria workers coming in on Wednesday night. So Thursday I'll be busy with them and getting them organized for their field work the following week. So that will take off sometime. We hope to have this group, there's 6 of them, over to the house for lunch on Thursday to have some rice and curry and whatever else Connie wants to put together for them. I think it'll be an interesting time. This group is mainly operational kind of people, and as I understand, 3 or 4 of them don't speak very much English, so it will be an interesting luncheon, I'm sure. There's one fellow that's their team leader, and he's sort of bird-dogging the whole arrangement. I met him when I was in Thailand about 3 weeks ago, down at Hat Yai in southern Thailand. He was a part of the conference down there, and the team leader was there, and we discussed what he'd like to do in Colombo when he gets here. Anyway, seemed like a nice fellow, and the other people involved, I'm sure, are quite capable. They spend a couple weeks here, and then they spend a couple weeks in India, and then go on back to Thailand. The idea is to give them some insight as to how other people are handling their rather severe problems, and maybe to exchange some thoughts that they have in their own program, which might be useful here. So it's a kind of a two-way street, but we'll see how it all works out. I'm sure they'll find Colombo a good deal less exciting than their city of Bangkok, which is a real rip-roar. And our little town here will be like a small village to them, I'm afraid. But anyway, they have a chance to look around, do something different, and break out of their own work patterns for a while. I guess we ought to talk a little bit about the forward planning here. I noticed the tape is getting pretty low. I think we're about 2/3 through. Anyway, after the first of the year, I plan to go to Pakistan. And I'll leave here about the 9th of January. And I'll be there till about the 30th or 31st of January. And I'll be working mainly in Islamabad. There's a plane that goes out of Colombo to Karachi, and then from Karachi on up to Islamabad. It's a long day, but it can be done in one day. And I'm sure it's going to be cold, so I'm in for another sweater and jacket and muffler time, I'm afraid, there. Anyway, I'll see Alan Stephan there. We had hoped that Chuck Hayes would be working with us on this particular assessment in Pakistan, but I got a cable today that said that he would not be among those present, although he has committed to it. And another man was going to be substituted. And so I'm kind of sorry, because I always enjoyed Chuck, and I know Sandy and he are great friends, and so I thought I might just pass that little information on. And then on February, we plan to be pretty much here up to about mid-February. I think the plan is for me to go to India during the last 2 weeks with Dr. Dish, and we'll be working in Maharashtra and Gujarat states, collecting data and then finishing off a report for probably the first week in March. And then I have been asked by the government people there in Burma to come up to Burma about mid-March, and I think Connie and I will make that trip together. The plan is to go from here to Bangkok to Rangoon, spend a week doing what we can do, although I'm afraid I'm not terribly clear on my parameters there, but I'm sure it'll become clearer when I arrive. And then we'll move on to Nepal, which would get us to Nepal about the 20th or the 21st of March. And we'll be in Nepal, I suspect, 3 weeks anyway. That's the time of their annual assessment. And so I'll be at that point. So looks like we'll be gone from Colombo from about, probably about the 15th of March until probably the 15th of April. We'll be dropping notes along the way, but it still may not be as regular as your mother is, as Connie has done before. He's a good letter writer. I'm okay if I'm settled down someplace, but when I'm in transit, it's just kind of hard to put it all together. Anyway, we're both looking forward to Burma. Neither one of us have been to Burma except just to stop at the airport. Sandy and Diane may remember a brief stop there in which we were on our way back to Kathmandu, and we got off the airplane, and at that point Diane had an enormous doll. When we got off the airplane, she carried the doll off with her. It was about an hour and a quarter stop there at the Rangoon Airport. And then when we started to get back on the airplane, the hostess was very upset at the fact that six Coopers had gotten off and only five were getting back on, because at that point, instead of carrying the doll, Diane was dragging the doll, sort of, and it wasn't terribly noticeable. But what they had done was to count this doll as an individual, and it was really quite difficult to get the message through that there really were only five of us, and this, if they had counted six, it was because they had counted a doll. But stranger things are to be encountered in international travel and one can possibly imagine. Okay, so we get through that trip, and in April, looks like I may go back again to India towards the end of it for a few days, and then go out in the field. Of course, May and June are not very good times in India, but that's the way life is, I guess. We have a note from Steve when I got back, saying that he's hoping to do some extended travel in the July period of time, and that he might be able to swing around this way with the family, and we're certainly looking forward to that if it's at all possible. But we recognize that life is as turbulent for him as it is for all of the rest of us, so it's just one of those things down the road that we can hope for. But if it doesn't happen, why, we certainly do understand. We have, of course, many pleasant memories of our trip home last time, and gosh, we just so enjoyed seeing Sandy and John and Nikki and Diane and the gang. It was just unbelievably wonderful for us. We just treasure those memories so much, and spend a lot of time thinking about the good time that we did have in Charlottesville and in Fort Worth, getting caught up on your individual lives and what you're doing, the people you are associated with, and the fun that you're having. We sure hope that John can be a part of the Christmas scene there, as it's kind of nice to be with the family on Christmas, but I suspect that he's a sort of new man into the flight circuit there, and usually under those circumstances, why they get the duty that other people would just as soon not have. And so it's would be also understandable if he was away for the time. But maybe if he doesn't get Christmas, maybe he'll get New Year's, and or vice versa. Anyway, in any case, I'm sure you'll have a good time and have a lot of good fellowship and Christmas cheer of one kind or another. We're going to complete this tape because there's not much room on it. In fact, we may run out. But we do want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We hope
that 1981 is a great year, and everything goes the way you want it. So we'll be starting the tape with music. We'll just end up the tape with music. So we'll be singing Dashing Through the Snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
That's to go with a foot of snow in Abilene.
Okay, you have a real nice time, and we'll be thinking about you, and all the best there to Nikki, and give her a big old hug and kiss from Santa Claus, and all that kind of thing. So
maybe you can get a Happy New Year out of her on a tape to come back.
Yeah. Okay. Take care. We're signing off.